Here we are. This is Confessions of a Disney Cast Member.
An audio journey through the lives of cast members from across Disney and Universal, far and wide, old and new.
So sit back, strap in, and let us bring the magic to you.
Welcome back to another episode of Confessions of a Disney Cast Member. And me and Bradley are joined by the lovely Paige today. Welcome, Paige.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
We're so happy to have you. Oh, it's going to be amazing. But first, before we start, you are like an Instagram queen. So please plug yourself.
We'll tag you. Don't worry.
I mean, I am on private, but happy for all the people. Happy for all the Disney people to come and follow me. It's at Paige Langley Shaw. It's just my full name. Pretty boring, but
yeah. And you're getting married this year, right?
I am getting married this year.
Oh, look at that rock! Love it.
Also, just finished my lifelong goal of visiting every park and resort and cruise ship. Disney.
Oh my god! In the world, everyone.
Everyone. Done.
So when we're talking cruise ship, we're saying treasure as well.
Well, when I say cruise ship, I haven't done every cruise ship. I mean, I've done the cruise.
Yeah. But that's the next one up from this. No, you've completed this one. That's your next task. Exactly. I feel like you should have a trophy.
Actually, is treasure even open yet? I don't know. No. You've got your hard hat on, Paige, going on to
that was me on the dry dock.
So you've completed them all. Run us through. What was your first and which one was your last? Like, how did you complete it all? Tell us.
Walt Disney World first, then Disneyland Paris, that then fueled my fire. And then I went over to Shanghai, Hong Kong, Tokyo, but also last year I did California and Hawaii, Alani. Oh. And then during like the pandemic times, I did that UK cruise, the Disney cruise.
Yeah, it's amazing. I honestly feel like you should be given something for that. Like, that's a...
I was thinking of making myself a trophy, but I thought it's really sad, isn't it?
No.
Like, when people do the Three Peaks thing, don't they? And they do, like, Ben Nevis and Snowdon. I've forgotten what the third one is. But they're all about giving themselves medals. So I think it needs to happen.
Yeah, I can just make one for myself.
Yeah, here for it.
Everyone's like, oh, you should contact Disney. And I'm like, I can't tell you how much they won't care.
Well, if you're listening, Disney, you should. So get on to Paige now, please. Give us some sort of medal or something. But anyway, that all sounds amazing. I'm sure we might end up picking up on some of that throughout the episode. But to get us in the mood, we're going to start with our classic Disney quickfire. And we have mixed it up recently. So for anyone listening, I know you're used to the favourite park, favourite ride, favourite food. And I mean, me and Sophie were getting bored of asking it. So
boring.
People must have got bored of listening to it. So we also got a few like reviews where it was like, can you stop asking that, please? And like, okay, that's a bit blunt. But
no,
yeah.
Sorry, the review was about you. We got one bad review and the review was, I'm so bored of hearing RIP Disney Housen. That was about you.
I mean, if you didn't live in Disney House and you listen, it's not really relevant, is it? But I mean, maybe it was relevant for the first 10 episodes, but after that, it was a bit. I think I've said this already this season, but I literally wanted to make merch of it at one point. Sophie was like, why? Don't be that person.
Who
do I think I am? But anyway, quick fire time. So, Paige, we've got three questions for you. First one is, which new land would you like to see next at Disneyland Paris? So we know there's like rumours about, we know Frozen's coming. That's already a go. But there's rumours about Pandora, Star Wars, Lion King. We can think out of the box here. It hasn't got to be something that we already know might be coming. But what are you thinking?
I'm going to be really biased here, and I really want the Tangled area that Tokyo are having in Fantasy Springs. I know... in Studios Park, they're going to bring like the Tangle teacups, but it's not enough for me.
Is that coming to Studios Park?
Yeah, apparently it's just going to be like, it's literally just going to be the teacups.
Oh, that's more.
Tangled out, like, why has she only got toilets? Come on,
she gets shafted at Walt Disney World.
It's actually a bit embarrassing. Like, I can't believe all you've got is toilets.
I know, especially for such like an icon. I think Tangled and Rapunzel kicked off the like new age of Disney animation as well.
Yeah,
but
so that's what I'd like to see.
Okay, well, realistically, I'm not sure. Our fingers crossed. Okay, second question. Which character would most struggle to be friends with at Disney? And we're keeping the magic alive, but which character would you most struggle to be friends with?
Okay, who would I struggle to be friends with the most? I'm going to go off my own experience. I never, ever want to see Rafiki ever again.
Oh.
Rafiki from The Lion King, as in. And on my very first working day at Disneyland Paris, I hung out with Rafiki on the parade in a 37 degree heat, and I have never cried so much in my life afterwards.
Oh, girl.
This is not it. This is not the one. And I never saw that monkey again. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that is good.
So next to no impromptu trips to Rafiki's Planet Watch for you then, I'm assuming. All for many people, but hey, Zootopia Land, where are you at? Come on, hit me with that train to Zootopia. Anyway, third and final question, the quick fire before we get stuck into your time at Disneyland Paris. If a new Disney park was to be built anywhere new in the world, where would you want it to be?
I'm going to be selfish here. Europe, anywhere, don't care. Not England, because it rains too much. Let's say Spain, Barcelona. Let's go with Barcelona.
I've never thought of like a Spanish Disney park. I think I guess logistically, I mean, I know we're talking theoretically here. I guess logistically, maybe too close to Paris, but
absolutely. But I, you know, they've got two in America. They've got three in Asia. Hong Kong and Shanghai. In fact, the three Asian parks are only within 2 hours of each other. So
that's so true.
What's an hour flight from Paris?
Well, like, what's that theme park in Spain? Is it Fuerteventura?
Fuerteventura is the country.
No, is there not a park called that?
Fuerteventura, yeah.
Fuerteventura, yeah. So there's a park. People go for that. So let's close it, rebuild it, and make it Disney.
There we go. Disneyland Fuerteventura.
Exactly. Oh, well, that was amazing. Quick fire. Thank you. But we're going to start with your journey. So obviously, Disneyland Paris, how many years did you work there?
I was there 2 years in total with a very small break in between, but we can get
it. Well, tell us from the beginning. So obviously, it was entertainment. So walk us through applying for the job to getting out there. How did that all go for you?
So I trained in musical theatre. I was at college at the time, and although in the musical theatre industry, Disney is kind of looked down upon, I didn't care because I've just always loved it. So I auditioned 6 months before I graduated, and yeah, got the email whilst I was rehearsing for my final year show. And I literally fell on the floor and cried. Like, I've never been so excited. But yeah, I applied whilst I was there. I just said I'm available from, I think, a week before I graduated. And said I was free until the end of time. So I got offered an open-ended contract. And yeah, the rest is history.
Let's talk about that, because I know some people get an open-ended contract and some people get like a time thing. So what's the difference in that? How does that work?
Well, when I was there, they were a CDD or a CDI. I can't tell you what that stands for. I don't know if it's the CDD are like fixed term contracts. So they can be anything from a month to 6 months. Normally it's seasonal, so they will happen sort of over Halloween or Christmas. Or you get the CDI, which is open-ended. So you just get a start date and then you can stay there for forever if you want.
And when you're in the audition process, do you have that decision to what you want to do? Or is it sort of like, we're going to give you what we want?
No, it's, well, again, when I was there, it was just whatever they have available. So again, if your look style doesn't fit what they need, so they'll have a list, I assume, of what they need coming up. And if you don't fit that, then you'll either just be put on the books to wait for an opening that does fit you, or you just won't get the offer. So this is when sometimes when I speak to people who really want to work there and they say, I've auditioned 8 times and I'm not getting anything, I just say, you need to keep going. Just keep going. Because
right time sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it can literally just be down to your 1 centimeter out of the height that they need.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah,
that.
Exactly that. And I mean, it's hard because when you're trying to think back to things like auditions or interviews, I mean, on this podcast, we talk a lot with, at least in the past, we've spoken a lot with cast members that we worked with in 2017, which meant our interviews were 2016, similar times when you would have been auditioning. And it's hard to give advice on something that was sadly quite a long time ago now, because things change. We don't know what the situation is like now. But was like training in musical theatre, it's very rigorous. I started training in musical theatre and I could not hack it, so kudos to you, Paige. But what was the audition process like? Was it what you sort of would have expected as a musical theatre student going into something like a Disney audition?
Yeah, I mean, I loved the audition. It's an open audition. I don't know if they still are. It was an open audition, so that's just a time and date is set and as many people show up as you want. It was at Pineapple Dance Studios in London. And yeah, when we got there, they have everybody in the room at the same time. And they do, like, I think there were 3 rounds in total. The first round was like animation. So they'll say, you know, pretend to be a jellyfish and do something cute and fun. And then they cut that round. Then it was a more strict dance round, so they can see your technique. And these, from what I can gather, the different rounds then set which type of contract you're going to get. So say you were really good at animation, like a really good actor, you might not necessarily be good at dance. So they do have contracts for actors versus dancers or both, etc. Then they cut again after the dance round, and then you go into a more secretive round. Not sure how much I can say, where they sort of try different costumes and things on you. And then they just kind of say whether you've got through that round, and they will be in contact. And then you just sit and wait. But if you have got through each round, they gave me like a little blue card that just sort of says, congratulations, you're on the books. And then you just wait for the contract, and you don't actually know what the job's going to be until the contract comes through on the email.
Wow. I mean, considering how many different, I mean, ours was food and beverage merch, which is pretty compared to the things that could have been ahead of you. What were you waiting long? Was it, that's one of the things that I think CRPs at time of recording, future CRPs have actually heard back today, if they've got a final interview in London. So very exciting for them. But that wait, whether it's 3 days, 3 weeks, oh my God, you just don't stop checking your emails. So I don't know if that was similar for you guys.
I mean, I only waited a month, but I think you're on the books for 12 months.
Oh, wow.
So they kind of say to you, if you don't hear from us within 12 months, then you can audition again. But that also is them saying, don't audition again, because we've got all your details. As in, within that 12 months, don't come back to another open call, because we've already got you. I was quite lucky, I think.
Yeah.
I think I auditioned in, like, maybe March. And got the contract in April, went out there in July.
Well, obviously, then getting a job, signing the contract, and then getting out, you're graduated, and now you're getting out to Paris. What was that like? Like, to move to Disneyland Paris as, like, your first job out of graduating and moving to a whole different country. Run us through that.
Oh, I was just so excited. It was amazing. I've never been so excited in my life. Got the Eurostar, even though I'm from Manchester, so I had to, like, lug an entire life's worth of stuff down there. But they're really good. They tell you to meet at, or they did tell us to meet at Hotel Cheyenne. And then they come and pick you up in a minibus. They take you to, like, the housing offices. They offer, if you're on an open-ended contract, they had like a 2 year long, almost like a uni student accommodation that you could stay in. And then if you want to stay longer than 2 years, you kind of have to sort yourself out, which I did in the end. And there's a few different locations of those. So yeah, they take you there, you go and set up your bank account, and then you just start work, or you do Disney University. That's really fun.
Oh, so like you start work, you do Disney University. Like, what was it like? So obviously for us, it's like paperwork, it's like doing online training, but you're performing. So like, what was the rehearsal process like? And actually, when do you find out all the different stuff you're going to be doing? As character integrity as we can, run us through everything that you were told you were going to be doing.
Yeah, so the first time I found out was on the contract. So when that comes through, you get sent through one character. Or I did. I keep saying I did because things might be really different now.
Of course, yeah.
But it'll say you are a character and parade performer as this character. And then when you get there, you get given like a profile book of all the people, like all the different characters you're going to hang out with and look after. And you go and like check out all their different costumes and the parade dancers and all that stuff. So you kind of only find out a week into it, and then they train you how to be that dancer and hang out with that character and stuff.
So what all did you do? So like, who were you all friends with and who did you hang out with?
So I was friends with very first week, I hung out with Pluto for an entire week, and it was very, very overwhelming. It was a shock to the body.
Yeah.
But really fun. So yeah, I hung out with Pluto, Eeyore, Tweedledum, Tweedledee, Mr. Smee, Rafiki once, never again. he's not my guy.
Who cares about Bruno? Rafiki. We don't talk about Rafiki.
Yeah, exactly. Then I also hung out with Rapunzel, Anna from Frozen, Angelica from Pirates of the Caribbean. She was a rogue one. Yeah.
That's a rogue one.
I know. And then one that I never actually got to hang out with in the park was Esmeralda, which is also
cool.
Also a lot of the dancing roles on the parades and the Christmas shows.
I always wonder this, and it always blows my mind. So you'll be friends with all these people, you'll be in the parades, you know, there's lots of different parts of the parade, right? So I know when I get my schedule, I'm 9 till 5. That's it. I know I'm food and beverage 9 till 5. When you get your schedule, what does that say? Does it say Cowboy Girl 3? What does it say?
So if you were, say, on a parade shift, you'd be given, I think it was like 10:30 till 6:30 when I was there. So you'll know that you're going to be on parade, and you only find out what role you're going to be about 2 hours before parade, maybe a bit later. But then when you get there in the morning, you sort of go to like an office and they'll tell you what you're doing in the morning. So if you're like a character, I also was a character attendant. So I'd literally like do like sort out the guests and stuff with the characters. So there's literally, you have no idea exactly what you're going to do. You just know your shift time.
Did you ever go there and go, they're like, oh, you're going to be this dancer? You go, oh, fuck, brilliant.
Yeah, it just depends what mood you're in. Like the green army men. You know.
Was it at the very start that you learn like a certain amount of tracks so that you can then just do it when they need you to, or is it a bit more of like you're just going to learn as you go?
No, you'll get put in rehearsals. I pretty much got in put in them straight away, so a few a week, and then once you've been approved on that dance role, that's it, that's you done.
Wow, amazing.
What was your first experience of like getting that for, like, for example, let's talk about the first parade shift. You're actually going down Disneyland Paris doing this parade. How does that feel?
Oh my God, I cried, and I was dancing with the cards from Alice in Wonderland, because this was back when it was the 20th parade, which I know if you look back now, it's a bit naff, but I can't tell you, when you're dancing like down Main Street, if you turn around and you look at the castle, and you see everybody and the happy faces, and I'm like, oh my god, this is what I wanted to do. Like, my favorite role ever was well, they're called Sea Lush, but currently, if you know the parade currently, it's the Nemo float, and it's the girls that look like Victoria's Secret angels. They've got the big shells on. And I remember there was just one part of choreography where you like lean backwards and like look up to the sky. I can't tell you how many times I got tears in my eyes, because it's just so, I was like, this is everything I ever wanted to do as like a Disney fan.
I think considering you said at the start as well that like it can be frowned upon in the musical theatre industry to do Disney from certain like certain angles, I think like so great that you was like, no, I want to do this. And it's not, I think in any career people can get so caught up with like hitting the mark of what like a musical theatre person is supposed to do, or what someone in their field is supposed to do, but actually saying, you know what, no, this is what I want to do. I'm going to take my skills and put it to what I want out of my life. And again, like, obviously, spoiler alert, you're not working for Disneyland Paris anymore, and it's a part of your life, you know, and you need to take those opportunities, grab them, and so that you can say, I did that and that was what I chose to do.
Yeah, and I think like the most important thing that I got out of it for me as well is I'd made my parents so proud. Like, to them, me doing this at Disneyland Paris was like me being Elphaba in Wicked. Like, all the trips that we had as kids, and I'd watch the parades and I'd say to them, that's what I want to do. And when I got it, like, to them, I'd made it. And that was enough for me.
Well, because you're obviously like a Disney family getting to do all these trips. So.
Oh, we're the matching T-shirt family.
Oh, yes.
Even as a nearly 30-year-old, I still wear matching T-shirts with my parents when we go away.
It's so cute. It's like it's the magic for your family to do those trips together. How many times did they come out and visit you then? Was it a few?
Oh my god, they got annual passes.
Oh
yeah, and then that's it. I can't even tell you how many times they came.
Did your friends ever get to meet them?
Oh, as in, yes. Any time that they were coming out, I would be like, right, I need to request who I'm going to have today.
Yeah.
Oh, and they just loved it. Like,
I mean, I don't know. Did your family ever come in? Like, did you ever serve your family at the Rose and Crown site?
No.
You didn't. I did serve. I served mine. I loved it, even though they all ordered tea. And like, Paige, tea. You do not order tea at the Rose and Crown. Like, if you order tea,
you'll get bitched about in the kitchen.
You turn around and you're like, are you joking? And they all ordered tea. Was there any drinks for you? We've got beer, we've got these cocktails. Oh yeah, we'll have a pot of tea each, please. And
I just said no.
But yeah, six, because they came with family friends. Oh my god. And it was literally I was on the lower deck, it was scalding hot, and I honestly wanted to throw the tea over them. Honestly,
I just said no. Even. What are you gonna do? Complain?
Yeah.
No, I gave them a little bit of like a really, and they obviously didn't understand that the making of the tea. I mean, really, when I think about it now, compared to some of the stresses in my normal job, I'm like, making a tea isn't that big a deal, really. But you got to think, the six teapots don't fit on one tray. You got six teapots, you got six cups, you got to take the tea caddy out and shed the tea. I'm like, no, chuck yourself in the lagoon, you know.
I mean, I'm also gonna put my mum out here, and I know she'll listen to this, but one of the funniest experiences I'd had with her coming to see me when I was working. So I was in the Auberge restaurant, which is the princess restaurant. And whilst I was looking after some of my friends in there, my mum shouts across the restaurant, Paige, Paige. I have never wanted the ground to swallow me whole so much in my life, because I wasn't hanging out with Paige at the time. And you just have to look at
words.
I'm like, I'm gonna kill you, but mom, I love you so much.
Yeah, who's Paige?
Paige.
Yeah, that was funny, bless her.
She's just excited to see your daughter, though. She's like, yeah. Paige.
Well, as much as there's really great moments working for Disney and working in the parks, it's hard work. It's not always easy. And I'm sure there must have been some challenging times as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was never really... I never found the hardest parts Disney. The hardest parts I found were French working rules.
Okay, interesting.
And that's kind of what... pushed me to decide to leave. And it's, you know, I didn't like some of the French ways of working, and that's my own personal preference. There's nothing wrong with how they do things over there, but I mean, just for one example, it's a little bit morbid. When I was over there, my grandma passed away, and in their French working law at the time, I don't know if it's different now, if it's a grandparent, you're only allowed one day off work. So when I'd gone upstairs to be like, I need to go home, my grandma's died, they were just kind of like, oh, here's your one day. And I was like, no, I kind of need to grieve. I need to go to a funeral. I need to do X, Y, and Z. So just stuff like that was hard. But again, that's not a Disney thing. That's a French working thing.
Yeah, it's a culture. It's a culture. Very much they might be like, yep, okay, move on. But we're all human. So we don't all just, we're not overnight going to click your fingers and be like, oh, yeah, I'm good to go back to work. I'm going to dance around with my friend in the Green Army friend. You know, I'm not going to do that.
Exactly. But no, overall, I loved it. And it actually, working there fueled my obsession fire. Like, before I went, people were like, it's going to ruin the magic. Like, you know, you're going to see Mickey Mouse in states that you don't want to see Mickey Mouse. Yeah. I was like, well, we'll see. I was never this obsessed with Disney and the Disney parks.
Really?
Were you
a fan of the parks when you were younger? Like, did you go to Disney a lot as a kid?
Yeah, first trip was when I was one. Oh, and then we went sort of every 3 or 4 years since.
Well, just talking about being obviously a performer out there, we spoke about like the day-to-day of like a parade, the kind of like 10 to 6. What would be your other kind of shifts, and what would you kind of get up to while working day-to-day over there?
They had different, when I was there, I was on different types of shifts. Like, if there was a show on, you'd just be on the show all day. Or restaurant shifts, they were fun, like Cafe Mickey, rest in peace at Disney Village. That was a good one. The early like breakfast character shifts, like breakfast dining. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. No, I think that was pretty much it.
When you said show, what shows were you a part of?
Well, I did the Christmas Royal Wishes. I was a snowflake dancer. And then we did the tree lighting ceremony at night with Mickey. And that was honestly, I've literally got goosebumps thinking about it. Lighting the Christmas tree with Santa Claus and Mickey and Minnie was just unbelievable.
It sounds amazing. I just want to ask a couple more questions, obviously, about like doing the day-to-day, like friends with all these people and stuff. And you know how you said you had kind of a little profile of friends that you got to meet? We know your least favorite, but run me through your favorite furry friend and favorite non-furry friend.
Favorite furry friend will always be Eeyore.
Aww.
Because not only are, like, all the Winnie the Pooh characters amazing anyway, but who doesn't love Eeyore? And you know who's attracted most to Eeyore are like grannies.
Oh, really?
Really small, cute kids. So when you've got a day where all you want is just nice people to just keep getting delicate cuddles from a grandma.
Rather than high energy, like, going on. Yeah.
Who doesn't love Eeyore? Sad little donkey.
Aww. He's very cute.
Yeah. And then my favourite non-furry friend, Rapunzel.
Yeah.
And I have absolutely no shame in the absolute pure obsession I continuously have to this day with Tangled and Rapunzel. In fact, I've got tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
So I can never, unfortunately, go back to work there. This says Flower, Gleam and Glow, and it's the Tangled Sun. And then I got my, like, family members to draw me a flower.
Oh.
That's so special. I love that.
And I'm just so not ashamed. Sure
you guys can't see it. Maybe we'll need to get a picture of the tattoos for the Instagram. So people will be like, oh, and it's like, we know it's really exciting.
Well, our we've got so many like Rapunzel friends stands. Like we have Lauren's Floating Lights, Daisy. I remember going to see Daisy and Heather's, and she got us like, was it cash rate tickets? And I was like, oh my god, amazing! So I literally got her one of those like Rapunzel mugs as like a thank you, because she's Rapunzel mad as well. Like all of our, I feel like a lot of our podcast friends are all Rapunzel like stands.
I mean, she's great. She's great, yes. Isn't she? And she's also just not. She's not typical. I mean, there's some. Won't name names, but there's some Disney characters and Disney films that are just a little bit like, okay,
what a drip, like Snow White, what a drip.
Having some like tangled inputs into my wedding. It's not a Disney wedding because my fiance, love him to bits, he's not a Disney guy, but I am allowed to like
your little flurries of.
Yeah, drop in a few Tangled lanterns.
I think Tangled's quite a nice one to easily, subtly put in as well, rather like than, I mean, if you're having like how would you do, I don't know, like Frozen subtly? It would all have to be ice themed, you know, or like.
Get someone to come in as a snowman.
Yeah. I mean, you're obviously a huge Disney fan, Paige. What did you fill your days off with? Were you in the Disney parks or were you like.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did not. I look back now and I'm like, oh, I didn't use Paris as much as I should have done.
Yeah.
But then again, I went to the park.
Yeah.
It's a free entry as well. Yeah. Like, I think people don't realise that. Like, I very, very rarely didn't. If I wasn't travelling somewhere, and obviously we I think because we knew we were there for a year, you do want to try and cram in as much of that stuff in as well. And being in America as well, it's so much cheaper to get around than it is when you're in the UK. But unless I was traveling, there was very rarely a day I wasn't in a Disney or Universal park because, again, it was, with Universal, we obviously didn't get free tickets. It was our annual passes, but especially with Disney, I was like, I never got, it's $150 now to get into Magic Kingdom for a day. And I'm like, why would you not take up the opportunity and also the convenience of having it? But what would a typical day to day look like? Were there certain things you would absolutely do? Or was it a case of, I just want to go in and be in the magic?
Most of the time, I just wanted to go and sit and eat my lunch looking at the castle. Yeah. I mean, if I wasn't in the parks, I did go into Paris a few times. Some days I would just get the train into Paris and sit. Oh, God, this sounds so romantic of me. Sit by the Seine, by the Notre Dame, and just read a book with a coffee.
That makes me so. I want to go and do that right now, though. I don't want to be in my room in Northampton. Like, well, I'm having a great time talking to you, Paige. Obviously,
but it would be better if we were in Paris.
Exactly. By the Seine, by the Notre Dame. Yeah, glass of wine, book. You know, having a podcast episode.
Like Emily in Paris fan. Is it like that? Like, were you kind of feeling like you were a bit like Emily? You know.
Yeah, if I romanticized it that way.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we're talking about magical days off. We've talked about like the magic of like getting to be these friends. But could you give us a story or two of your most magical moments? Like, I'm assuming you've probably got so many, but have you got any standouts?
Yes. And I'm going to... Oh, my God, it's going to make me really emotional. So some of my... Obviously, one of the best things that's come out of me working at Disney was meeting some of my best friends that I've got now, still to this day. And I think the standout moments, other than everything with my parents seeing me, would be meeting like two of my best friends currently, because we actually met, they weren't cast members. So I didn't work with them. I actually met them whilst I was working. So they were guests. And it's Sophie and Jess, they'll probably listen. And yeah, they met me when I was hanging out with Rapunzel a few times. And it was actually after I left that we then like grew as friends and as best friends. But every single time I would meet them whilst I was working, you know, and you just get that feeling from someone like, we are on the same wavelength here. Like, yeah, you get the magic just as much as I get it, and you are definitely my kind of people. And every time I would meet them, I would just feel like, oh my God, this is why I do this job. I know most people say that about kids and stuff, and I did get that about kids, but as an adult who's a similar age, you're just like, this is just amazing, this is perfect. And it was moments like those. And then seeing my parents' face when I was like coming down parade.
I think that's such an amazing point, yeah. Because there were so many times that, like, obviously I don't make the same kind of magic as your friends, but like you've been making magic moments for people that were the same age and they go, oh my god, thank you so much. And, like, I don't think people our age expect those amazing moments. Like when I meet a character, sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, that was great, really, really quick and rushed, but the family before me with the four kids, it was really long and you made it such a magical experience, thank you. But the characters that I've met that have really made, like, the time for me, I've walked away and gone, oh my god, like, that was,
yeah.
I met Daisy at Topolino's, it was that, like, standout. I ran down to the shop after and bought the ballerina Daisy because I was like, this is the best moment I've ever had with the character. It's yeah. So standout. So I think that's such an amazing point that you spoke about, like, creating magic for other Disney adults, because yeah. It's our thing.
Yeah.
And you're still friends to this day page as well?
Oh, they're coming to my wedding.
Oh.
Yeah, we, so they don't live near me. They live about 2 hours away. But we, ever since I've left, have made sure we see each other like 4 or 5 times a year. We went to Disneyland Paris together back in September and it was one of the most magical trips I've ever had in my life. And yeah. Like, I'm going to Disneyland Paris on my hen do, and some of my Disney, like, friends that I've worked with there, and Sophie and Jess are coming, and yeah, it's amazing.
Amazing. We say this all the time, but we do really do mean it. We could literally sit here and talk about it all day because it's why we do the podcast, because we literally love it so much. What advice would you give to someone? I know it's been a few years since you've been at Disneyland Paris now, but what advice would you give to someone thinking of doing this, especially as someone that was in a position where it was maybe frowned upon a little bit that wasn't the expectation of someone in your position at the time? What would you say to anyone that's thinking about doing this now?
Well, firstly, audition and keep auditioning until you get there. Don't let a single no put you off going back. It's literally just down to what they need at the time, like I say, down to the single centimeter of your height. And also, screw what everybody else thinks. If people are looking down on it, if this is something you want to do, do it. It's the most magical job I have ever and will ever have. And if I could go back and relive it again, I would.
Oh, that's amazing. We all think that. I relive my Disney days as well. Like, it's just
I feel like a broken record, like, when I talk about it. I'm just like, how am I still talking about this, like, 7 years later, like it was yesterday? But it sticks with you, and the memories you make, just, I don't think you can, at least I can't imagine you can make them with many other companies. And yeah, it's very, very special. And you heard it here, folks, so get auditioning, get applying, whatever you need to do. So yeah, really great to hear.
Before we come to the end and ask you the big question, I want to ask, obviously, you've just told us you've completed all the Disney, you know, the Disney parks, Alani. Tell us your favourite park and tell us a bit about Alani, because people don't really get to hear that much about Alani. So tell us a little bit about that before we wrap up.
My favourite park will always be Walt Disney World Magic Kingdom, because that's just where me and my family have gone forever. That's our special place. Nothing will ever beat it. But Tokyo Disney, if Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney World didn't exist, Tokyo Disney wins hands down.
And you're talking Tokyo Disneyland over Tokyo Disney City?
Yes, Tokyo Disneyland.
Oh, okay.
Disney's all right, but...
Oh, that's... I feel like that's a... We've not got to the confession yet. I feel like that's a confession in itself. What is it about Tokyo Disneyland that stands out for you?
Everything is perfect. People say, look at the crowd. You see it all over TikTok, the crowds, the lines, everything is chaotic. But Japanese culture is so respectful that that's not a problem when you're there. And I mean, the Beauty and the Beast ride, absolute 12 out of 10. Honestly, it's unbelievable. And just, they've got everything right. They know how to merchandise properly. They know what everybody wants. The food, those little alien mochi balls, they are so worth the 15-hour flight. It just was unreal, and it was so beautiful as a park as well.
Oh, I need to go. It's definitely on my list. But Alani is number one.
Alani.
So please tell me about Alani.
You need to book right now. and you need to stay for at least a week, three nights.
Really?
We just did three nights just because it's quite expensive. I think if you're not DVC, the Disney Vacation Club, it's like £700 a night for the cheapest room. So like our room view looked out onto the car park. And that's how much it was.
Yeah.
But beautiful, just like everything you see. I mean, it's what was surprising for us is it's definitely built to not have rain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it's a very rainy island. So yeah, that was a bit confusing. Like when it did rain, there wasn't really anywhere to go other than the bar, which isn't a problem.
Yeah.
But I suppose if you've got kids, it was a bit like, I don't really know where you'd go. But anyway, we're going on to the negatives here, Paige. There's no negatives.
did you find that where it is such an expense, and it's no secret, it's probably the most expensive resort, I'd probably say, that you can stay in across all of Disney's properties, at least, if not the most, one of the most. I'm guessing you didn't leave the resort for those 3 days, three nights.
We left once just because I went with my dad, bless him, and he wanted to go and see Pearl Harbor. So we did leave for like a morning. But other than that, you wouldn't need to leave. They've got everything.
Really?
Yeah, like a private beach, a private lagoon. Wow. I mean, I'm not even going to lie to you. And the whole time I was there, I didn't go in the lazy river once because I didn't have time. So that's why I'm saying you need more than three nights because there's so much to do. And the characters, there was never a queue. Like I'd stroll past Moana and be like, oh, do you want to chat?
You're living my dream.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Good.
Did you have a luau at the resort?
Sorry, you're going to have to
repeat. Like a Hawaiian luau. Do they have one?
Yes, and we went. And me and my dad got the most amazing seat. We were front centre. And it's a Hawaiian buffet, unlimited food, unlimited alcohol.
Oh.
Can I add? They've got all of the activities before. You can do like, I want to say tarot pounding, and I'm so sorry if I've got that wrong, but they're like version of a sweet potato.
Oh, that's not what I would have thought tarot pounding was. It could have been many other things.
We learned to play the ukulele. That was fun. It's not there. So the luau that they have there isn't very Disney. It's very traditional, and Mickey and Minnie come out for a little bit. But it was unbelievable.
Mm.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, now we all want to go to Aulani, so thanks for that, Paige.
Oh, you have to do it.
Right, we've come to the end, which means we have our last confession that we ask on every single podcast episode. So, Paige, we want to ask you, what is your deepest, darkest Disney confession?
I feel like it should be the Tokyo Disney Sea one, but
that was a big one. To be fair, I'll add the music over on that bit as well.
But I am sadly going to have to say, for me, Animal Kingdom Park is skippable.
Paige, it was going so well. Paige is awkward.
Now you're never going to speak to me again, I know.
You're saying completely skippable, like you could go and
I could go for a 2 week holiday and never even Animal
Kingdom. That's a good one.
I'm sorry because there are so many Animal Kingdom stands.
Yeah.
But just I just can't see, like, when we do go on Disney World holidays, we get there for rope drop and we have done the entire park and everything we want to see by 9 a.m. and we go,
so, but like, if it was skippable, how would you watch Face of the Lion King? How would you do that? You can't
but been there, done that.
Yeah, they've got the Lion King show in every other park.
Yeah, but it's rubbish in Disneyland. Yeah. It is.
Sorry,
no, Disneyland. I don't know, Disneyland California. I sat there and watched this Lion King show, and I went, "What the hell is going on here?" I was like, "I don't leave a show because that's rude." But I sat there going, "I want to go," and that's not a nice place. Yeah.
Well, it is your favorite park, so I get it.
And the one thing I will give them, the Finding Nemo musical is 10 out of 10.
Thank you, Paige. We're so on the same wavelength. Finding Nemo musical, Big Blue World, and you know what? As much as I don't really understand why they changed things after COVID, but I'm like, fine, I can deal with it. It's a great show. Great, very original. Love it.
But they could pick it up and move it next to the Nemo ride in Epcot.
Yeah.
And to be honest, Epcot doesn't really have a show. I think this is my big
We're
thing
talking about this, wasn't we?
Magic Kingdom doesn't have a show. They should have something there. So they could move, they need to get something. I think Tangled the Musical.
Oh my God, the one off the magic on the Disney Cruise Line. I have never cried so much at a show in my life.
That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing.
It's really good.
Wow. That was, so we got two for the price of one with the confessions, because that was quite a big one as well. I'll take that. And just watching Sophie's face gave me some joy there. So.
I'm sorry, Sophie.
But honestly, it's been so amazing to have you on the podcast today, Paige. I really hope you've enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, I've loved it. I'll come back again if you want me to.
Oh, of course, of course. 100%. We'll be doing some discussion episodes coming up, so we'll definitely grab you on again.
Yeah.
But if you want to talk to someone about all the parks in the world.
Oh, there we go. Round the world Disney. Here we go. I feel it already. But no, Paige, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. And I mean, like you said, I'm sure we'll be hearing from you again real soon. But it's been amazing, and you're amazing. And good luck with the wedding.
Thank you.
Wait to hear about the Disneyland Paris Hindu. That's defo an episode I feel that we can get on board with. So thanks so much, Paige, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you. Take care. Speak to you soon.
Well, here we are, and here we were.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram for episode updates and more confessionist content. And before you go, we'd love for you to hit that subscribe button.
That's all we've got time for. So for now, Disney Confessionist over and out.